ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद, शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। ट्रांसलेशन, दस ऑल लिविंग एंटिटीज इन द फॉरेस्ट ऑफ झारखंड, सम मूविंग एंड सम स्टैंडिंग स्टिल, बिकेम मैडेंड बाय हियरिंग द होली नेम ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा वाइब्रेटेड बाय श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु। पर्पट, द ग्रेट फॉरेस्ट ऑफ झारखंड इज अ ग्रेट ट्रैक्ट ऑफ लैंड इंक्लूडिंग आठगढ़, ढेंकनाल, अंगुला, लहारा, क्यंझड़ा, बामड़ा, बोनाई, गंगापुरा, छोटा नागपुर, यशपुर एंड सरगुजा। ऑल दीज प्लेसेज विच आर कवर्ड विद माउंटेन्स एंड जंगल्स आर नोन एज झारखंड। ओम ज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानंजनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं दापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपाकदामहियं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते, गोपेशा गोपिका कान्ता राधा कान्ता नमस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी, विषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वंशाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्येव च, परितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णभ्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन्ति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे, निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद, श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवासादि गौरभक्तवृंदा। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई फील वेरी हैप्पी एंड ब्लेस्ड टू बी हियर इन दिस होली अबोड ऑफ देयर लॉर्डशिप्स श्री श्री राधा गोकुलानंद श्री श्री सीताराम लक्ष्मण हनुमान। सो आई एम ग्रेटफुल फॉर दिस अपॉर्चुनिटी टू स्पीक ऑन चैतन्यचरितामृत दिस मॉर्निंग, एंड वॉन्ट टू एक्सप्रेस माई ग्रेटिट्यूड ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर कमिंग हियर एंड ऑल्सो ऑल द अदर डिवोटीज हु आर हैव जॉइन ऑनलाइन फॉर दिस क्लास। सो अ वॉर्म वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू। सो also seek the blessings of all the devotees assembled here, especially the senior devotees. So here is this chapter describing the Lord's travel to Vrindavan. He is traveling towards Vrindavan and passing through the Jharkhand forest, and this was described that how when the Lord was passing he was continuously chanting the holy names. And by his chanting was so powerful that even the animals and the trees, they experience ecstasy within their heart hearing the holy name. this is quite a miracle actually, because usually it's a human form of the life in which one can cultivate spiritual realization and can experience some kind of ecstasy. Usually speaking, the animals and the trees and the lower forms, they usually cannot experience any spiritual realization, what to speak of the higher spiritual ecstasy, because there is so much dense layer of ignorance. So the lower species are primarily in the mode of ignorance, and therefore it's very difficult for them to experience in general. But the chanting of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so powerful that even the animals and the trees, they experience ecstasy. That vibration coming from Lord penetrated through the thick coverings of the ignorance and touched their hearts. I would like to ask you, some of you, how many of you have experienced some kind of ecstasy at some point of time? Please raise your hand. Don't feel shy. Don't feel too humble to admit. If you have experienced some kind of ecstasy at some point of time during your spiritual practices, please raise your hand. Raise your hand a little high. I'm just encouraging you to raise your hand by raising my hand. Okay, many of the devotees have experienced that. We do experience at some times during a festival, during ecstatic kirtan, rarely during the classes. So, yes. So, we have experienced, you know, some kind of emotions which are really rare to experience, where the heart is moved, some kind of glimpses of ecstasy. So, yes, so actually we should know that sometimes we may think, oh, wow, you know, I have had that great experience, my heart felt moved, my heart melted at some point of time. That could be, I'm becoming quite advanced. We may think like that, but actually it may not be our advancement. It could be in some cases, but it may not be our advancement. It may be that at that point of time, there's a strength of the association of devotees, the particular festival, the Lord's overwhelming mercy, and so many devotees are chanting. So it could be just the power of that moment, power of that sangha, that can move and melt our heart. That may not be our spiritual advancement. So at times, as I said, if we experience something, we may not think that I am just now becoming a pure devotee, just maybe one step below, but almost reaching, because I am experiencing some kind of ecstasy. So that may not be true. We can experience some great ecstatic moments, even though we may have many anarthas within our heart. Just like the trees and the plants, in Jharkhand, they experience ecstasy because that vibration was so powerful that it penetrated through all the coverings, you know, of the modes and the anarthas, and their heart were moved. So yes, we all can experience certain ecstasies, but we may still be not having that spiritual purity. Okay, so this also shows the power of bhakti process compared to other processes. So it said that yes, in our spiritual practices we can get some realization or some experience even at the very beginning of the process. The process of karma, jnana or yoga has to be completed to experience the result. One will not get any results, any karma kanda ritual till it is completed and is perfectly completed. So, and if there are discrepancies, the results could be opposite also. So other processes, they need to be completed to experience the result of it. But bhakti is such a process, is such a super excellent process that we can experience the result at the beginning of the process. Just like the sages of Naimisharanya, they had started a 1,000-year-long sacrifice in Naimisharanya, and then Suta Goswami came and recited Srimad Bhagavatam, and when they heard Srimad Bhagavatam, they say, wow, they said, we started this 1,000-year-long sacrifice, karmanne asmin anashvase dhuma dhuma atman bhavan. They said, we have started this karmakanda ritual. This was part of karmakanda, the sacrifice. Karmanne asmin anashvase. We are not sure what will be the result of this 1,000 year long sacrifice, because we will see the result at the end of the 1,000 years. But the immediate result is that our faces and the lungs are becoming black. They admit that. We can see that when there is a fire sacrifice, it's quite intolerable for many people, because the smoke chokes our lung. So they say there is a lot of smoke, choking our lungs. Faces are becoming black, the lungs are becoming black. And what will the result after 1,000 years? We are not sure. But you have started this sacrifice of reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Appayayati Govinda Pad Padma Asavam Madhu. Now that you have started reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, we can taste the nectar at the very beginning. We don't have to wait till the end. So the bhakti is such a super excellent process that it gives result at the very beginning. At the very beginning. Or even before you begin. just imagine. Hridi sadde varuddhate atra kriti bhist shushrubhis tashanat. It's described in the Bhagavatam itself that when someone desires to hear that, I want to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord is so pleased. He hasn't yet started. The Lord is so pleased, the Lord is captured within the heart. We may not realize it. We have to realize it through the process. But just see the super excellence of the process of Bhakti Yoga, that the results are there in the beginning of the process, or even before we begin, when we have the desire to perform devotional service, the Lord comes and He establishes Himself within the heart of a devotee. So in this way, if we have experienced some kind of ecstasy within our heart at some point of time, it's a super excellence of bhakti yoga process. We may not be pure yet. Or as we discussed, it could be the purity of the devotees who are assembled and chanting and having festivities. Okay, so now for those who have not experienced any ecstasy, persons like me, Sukhdev Goswami says something about them, those who have never experienced their heart being melted, transformed. So he says, Tad ashmasaram hridayam vatedam yad grahyamana harinamadheye na vikriyetha yadavikaro netre jalam gatru ruheshu sangha. I'll read the translation. Certainly that heart is steel framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes and hairs stand on end. So those who have not experienced any kind of ecstasy within the heart, some ecstatic moments, Sukhdev Goswami is saying, those hearts are steel framed. I'm speaking for myself especially over here. Okay, so now Prabhupada gives a very insightful purport to this verse. He says, the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart. So the whole process of bhakti is aimed at changing the heart. That means transformation of the heart. The heart should experience some transformation. That's the aim of this whole process of spiritual culture. The whole process of bhakti is aiming at change of heart. And he repeats this change of heart word few times in the purport. And then he says, it is expected by all means, I am reading parts of the purport, it's a long purport. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. Again, one must manifest if we are discharging regulated devotional service. If there is no such change, the heart must be considered steel framed. For it is not melted even when there is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Now, one thing. Sometimes it looks like a very judgmental verse, If you have never experienced any ecstasy, your heart must be steel framed. Seems like, you know, a very judgmental remark or verse by Shukadeva Goswami. But actually this is to, not to judge, but it is to introspect for ourselves, or to create, we may introspect, contemplate that why am I not experiencing any change of the heart, or to create a longing for us to experience the transformation in the heart. So we can take it in that way, rather than being understanding this verse in a, that's, this is a judgmental remark. Because so many devotees then long by reading those verses, oh, when will my heart melt? Right? Kabe habe belo se dine amar, that longing is expressed. When I chant the holy names, when will my heart experience some kind of transformation? Okay, so Prabhupada continues the purport. He says, we must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties. Shravanam Kirtanam. These are the basic principles. And if they are properly performed, there will follow the reactional ecstasy. Prabhupada is giving like, there is no ifs and buts, you know, there is no ambiguity over here. These are the basic process, and if they are properly performed, there will follow reactional ecstasies with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of the hair on the body. This will follow. These are the natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema, love of Godhead. So Prabhupada described that these symptoms which these trees of Jharikhanda experience, they were the symptoms of the stage of bhava. And if we perform hearing and chanting properly, surely the stage will come where we can experience these symptoms. Now Prabhupada very beautifully, now in the purport, gives another very important understanding over here. He says, though these symptoms naturally appear in due course of time if hearing and chanting is properly performed, but there are people who may imitate these symptoms. They may imitate the symptom, and we may think, oh wow, such advanced person. So then Prabhupada describes there are prakrita sahajiyas. They imitate those symptoms. And common people think they are experiencing ecstasy. They are a very high stage of spiritual realization. So these symptoms could be imitated. Or on the other hand, okay, to give an example. So these symptoms which are described are not to be considered as reliable parameters to evaluate spiritual progress, basically. And then Prabhupada in the same purport will describe some of the reliable parameters to judge our spiritual progress. So that ecstasy is appearing or not, you know, if ecstasy is appearing in the heart, we may not be very advanced. As I said, it could be just due to the power of the Sangha and so on and so forth, or the power of Bhakti Yoga. If ecstasy is not appearing, that is also not the sign that we are not advancing. So this ecstatic symptoms are not the reliable parameters to make any judgment, basically. And then Prabhupada says, why? Because there are people who may manifest ecstatic symptoms, or who may imitate ecstatic symptoms. Or sometimes it could be just out of outbursts of emotion. Let's give an example. Once what happened, the kirtan was going on in the temple hall and the lady walked in. And when the lady walked in the temple hall, and suddenly when, you know, she saw the person leading the kirtan, she started crying. The tears were flowing from her eyes. And kind of hair were also standing on end. And coming for the first time. And devotee thought, wow, you know, she is very advanced. She is very advanced in her spiritual realization, devotees thought. And then they, after the kirtan ended, they all approached her, you know, in great awe and reverence, and asked, you know, how come that you were crying when the kirtan was going on? None of us, you know, we are here for decades. We don't experience. So this lady said, you know, when that kirtan singer was, uh, shaking his head. I remembered my beloved dog who passed last week. You know, so my when I used to call his name, he used to shake his head just like the Kirtan singer. So you know, she was crying, remembering her dog who passed away last week. But she was crying. So therefore, you know, kind of visible ecstatic symptoms are not very reliable parameters to judge any spiritual advancement. that gives us some clue to that. Okay, so then, what are the, Prabhupada explains, what are the reliable parameters for us to evaluate? And of course, we don't want to judge others, but yes, we want to, seeing those reliable parameters, we can understand that who is an advanced person, and we can thus take advantage by using our discretion. So this is, these parameters which are more reliable are for self-evaluation and using an intelligence that whom we should associate with, basically, and not judging others. Okay, so what are those reliable parameters? They are given, there are 9 reliable parameters which one should observe with one intelligence, and based on that evaluate one's own or others' spiritual advancement. What are those? Shantir avyartha kalatvam viraktir mana shunyata ashabaddha samutkantha namagane sadaruchihi priti stadgun akhyane asakti tadgun akhyane priti stadvasati sthale. So these are the 9 symptoms described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which are more reliable parameters. I will discuss few of them at this point of time. So we should try to evaluate ourselves, or in other words, we should try to practice these. This should be also our sadhana. One thing is evaluation criteria. Other thing is we should also practice these. Because by practicing, we actually develop some of these virtues. What is the first? Shantir. Now this shantir is K-S-H-A-N-T-I, Shantihi. So ksha is used, not the sha. There are 2 in Sanskrit. So K is there before. K-S-H-A-N-T-I-H, Shantihi. So this Shantihi means forbearance and forgiveness. The very first parameter for evaluating our own spiritual advancement is the forbearance and forgiveness. So, in relation to forbearance, it is described that means a devotee is not agitated when there is every reason for one to be agitated. So there are so many situations in this world which may agitate our mind, but a devotee still doesn't become agitated on one's personal note. On one personal note. Any example of someone who underwent a lot of agitation through someone, a lot of agitating situation, but was not agitated? Any example that comes to your mind? Yes? Okay, Vidura, very good example. Very good example. We'll discuss that. I'd like to discuss that briefly. Some other examples? Huh? Prahlad, he was not agitated. Yes, good. Something else? Yes, Prabhu? Haridas Thakur. Yes? Amrish Maharaj. Right? He was just with his folded hand and was quite unjust on the part of, you know, Durvasa for small transgression to trying to kill him. But he was not agitated at all. So, yes? Nityanand Prabhu, you know, the blood flowing from his head. Right, and forbearance, and we in all the cases which you just quoted, we see also forgiveness. You see, Nityananda Prabhu prayed for forgiveness. Haridas Thakur prayed for forgiveness. Prahlad prayed for forgiveness. His father may be forgiven, and like that. Yes, Jesus. Yes, yes. Right. So we see such brilliant example of forbearance and forgiveness. Forbearance and forgiveness. So, Now, in the context of what we have been discussing over the last few days, here I have been hearing the classes online. the Hare Krishna Jai Shri Radha Gokulanand Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So, we see, we are discussing the pastime of four Kumaras entering Jai Vijay, the Vaikuntha. Four Kumaras entering Vaikuntha and they were stopped by Jai Vijay. So, those of you who are following the regular Bhagatam, that is being discussed. And when the Jai Vijay stopped them, the four Kumaras became angry. They were actually agitated. And Prabhupada says, he says, actually, in one sense, Prabhupada says, anger exists even in the transcendental stage. So there are two kind of agitations over here. One is like they were, Prabhupada said, one can become angry and anger exists even in the transcendental stage. Because they were so eager to meet the Lord, so their anger is justified. Prabhupada justifies their anger. Prabhupada justifies their anger. So they had become agitated. But now, what happens? And they actually pronounce a curse in anger. So Prabhupada says, when sometimes devotees' desires may be thwarted, we know Hanuman became angry when something was being done because Ravana kidnapped Mother Sita and so on and so forth. So the pure devotees may become angry at times or seemingly agitated in mind. Similarly, four Kumaras were angry and agitated in mind. But now what? And they pronounce the curse. They pronounce the curse to Jai Vijay. But now, most important thing is, even if one has become angry for a just cause, for a valid cause, like four Kumaras, Prabhupada doesn't find fault in their becoming angry. But what has happened is, the anger often exceeds the limit. It cannot be contained. It goes overboard. So now what happened is, the four Kumaras, they became angry, fine, they were thwarted. But the anger has crossed the boundaries and they have cursed, which is, that means, overreacted. They have overreacted and therefore now their fault is greater than that of the four Kumaras, the Jai Vijay. The four Kumaras had a greater fault. And you know, I'm just going a little bit in the storyline over here. This will also be discussed. But yes, it is something very interesting. Most of the time, even if we are just in anger, we often overreact. We go overboard. It is very, very difficult to check the anger, to contain it. It often goes overboard and then our mistake becomes greater. So in this case, the mistake of four Kumaras, because they have cursed as well to the Lord, is now greater. They are at a greater fault. They are at a greater fault. So, this is very important because Lord Chaitanya also says, he says there are faults in this world. Everyone has shortcomings. But one who takes pleasure in pointing out the shortcomings of other, that person has a greater fault. One who sees the fault has a greater fault. One who sees the faults of other for no constructive purpose, that person's fault is bigger. So like that. So in this way, because of their very critical, the four Kumaras, they actually were at greater fault than even the Jai Vijay. So that's in relation. So we are talking of forbearance, that one should not be agitated. Even when there is how much, it's not humanly possible at times. When someone agitates the mind becomes agitated. Then Prabhupada says, making it very realistic, Prabhupada writes this very important statement in the Krishna book, 89th chapter. One's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situation. How much can we tolerate provoking situations? On a personal note. So therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrit gives the example of Parikshit. Right? He was cursed and it was quite an unjust curse. The Sringi, he actually also overreacted. There was some fault on Parikshit, not denying that. Parikshit himself admitted. But Sringi overreacted. His anger went overboard. And therefore, his fault was much greater. The same just like we are discussing about the four Kumaras. His fault was much greater. He went overboard. But Parikshit was not agitated. He was not agitated. Shri gives the example of Parikshit. Forbearance. Another brilliant example is that of Vidura. How the words, sharp words of Duryodhana were like sharp arrows piercing his heart. But he did not... Now, you know, when... What happens? What would be the response? Just imagine, if our hearts have been pierced by somebody, there are usually two kind of responses. We become very critical. We start telling others, you know, this is how this person spoke. We start criticizing that person. If we do not criticize, we seek pity. You know, you saw how harshly that person spoke. So we try to gather some sympathy around, you know, for our situation. So, but the Vidura, he did neither of the two. He did not find fault in Duryodhana. No, this is something very, very important and very insightful and very amazing response. Vidura did not find fault with Duryodhana, who pierced his heart with sharp arrow. He felt pain at the heart. He's not like, you know, impersonalist who deny all kind of emotions. Vidura did feel a lot of pain in the heart when Duryodhana criticized him with sharp words. But then he did not find fault in Duryodhana. Why? Because he saw Duryodhana is acting just as an instrument of external energy. So in this world, there are many people who may inflict some kind of pain and violence, being an instrument of external energy. So Prabhupada says, a devotee sees they are acting helplessly. They are not in their own control. Just like when a mad person, he just speaks something nonsense. You don't mind. On the road, you are going and some mad person is speaking something. You don't mind. You know that the person is not in one's control. So most people in this world, they are like in a haunted state. Prabhupada gives this analogy. They are haunted by the three modes of material nature. People don't know, are not in their control. Prakrite kriyamanani gune karmani sarvashah amkar vimudatma karta hamiti manate. They think I am doing, but the modes are acting. So people in this world are haunted by the three modes, and they at times they are not in the control. Therefore, Vaishnava, they see, okay, this person is acting in this way, just under, helplessly acting under the control of the material energy comprising of the three modes. Therefore, let me not find fault in that person. But that's not easily possible, or that response is incomplete without the second response of Vidura, which is even more important for us to understand. He simultaneously saw the internal energy of the Lord acting. So we should see the external energies acting and internal energy acting. So the internal energy of the Lord is now giving me opportunity to get out of this palace politics and diplomacy. Enough with that. Now let me get out of it and let me enhance my surrender. Let me enhance my Krishna consciousness. So every external adversity is also an internal opportunity for spiritual growth. And we should be able to see that. And Prabhupada says, in this material world, we are tathastha shakti, right? External energy, between external and energy, both energies are there. The Lord divine energy is there. But both energies are acting, and our response should be external response. We have to deal with the situation. Now, I'm not. We may not internally find fault, but we may have to deal with it if someone is hurting us. But internally, we should also see that the Lord is sending this opportunity to make spiritual advancement, to make spiritual progress. So that response is complete. External versus internal, because both the energies are acting. So therefore, even though we may have to... So external, here we're talking of the reliable symptom of spiritual progress, forgiveness, forbearance and forgiveness. We have to deal, but internally we may not consider that person as a criminal. And also internally we may exercise forgiveness. Again internally, though we may have to deal externally with the person. So it's an external dealing versus internal response that we learn from the situation of Vidura also. So this is so how much we are able to tolerate the provoking situations And how much are we able to forgive others internally? And Prabhupada writes, not just Mahatma Vidura, therefore he is called as Mahatma for his response. Not just Mahatma Vidura, externally, you know, not find fault with Duryodhana. Internally, when he saw that now this is internal energy giving me an opportunity for spiritual progress, he thanked Duryodhana for from within. Now this is another level. Not to speak of, you know, not finding the fault, that itself is so difficult, that may take the whole lifetime and many lifetimes, at least for me. But to be able to thank a person from within, because that person now is providing the opportunity for internal spiritual growth. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, Mahatma Vidura thanked Duryodhana from within, and then he left the palace to enhance and dedicate, increase his dedication to Krishna. Right? So that is one of the visible symptoms of spiritual advancement. Shantir, Shantihi, which is for forbearance and forgiveness. The second, Shantir Avyarthakalatvam. Avyarthakalatvam means to be conscious of not wasting any time. To be conscious. Not a moment should be lost in something that is not connected with Krishna. That is Avyarthakalatvam. And I would like to give an example. Now, sometimes scriptural example, we say, wow, they are so great, but they are very far away from us. I was recently in Simhachalam for Narasimha Chaturdashi, and I conducted the devotee care course there. And fortunately, I was staying next door to His Holiness Mahavishnu Swami Maharaj. We were just neighbors for a few days. So I would offer him obeisance and often express gratitude. I said, Maharaj, I have this fortunate opportunity to be your neighbor. I want to take some advantage of that. So, and I would notice, like 3:30 every day, he would get up and go to take his bath. And he would start immediately Prabhupada's class. All the time he would, you know, was in the washroom, he would hear Prabhupada's class. And then he would get ready and switch off the class and go for Mangal Aarti while chanting the holy names. And then when he would come back to his room, he would be chanting the holy names. So I would see that whether he was hearing Prabhupada's class or chanting the holy name. Avyarthakalatvam, absolutely no gaps. Absolutely no gaps. So we can, now that may not be immediately possible for us, but we can look for, there are several gaps. There are several gaps. Where can we, you know, fill in those gaps with hearing and chanting? We can look for ourselves. Avyarthakalatvam. There's a lot of time we may be wasting and we may not be even conscious of that. So if the more we become conscious of not, you know, I would say either wasting or there are some gaps when we are not doing anything, etc., etc., or the mind is idle, then we can actually fill those gaps with hearing and chanting. So that is Avyarthakalatvam. And Chaitanya Charitamrita gives the example of Parikshit. When he was cursed, thus many sages proposed, we will counteract this curse. Right? We will do some Nivaran. Nivaran means we'll try to counteract this curse. He says, Dashattalam Gayata Vishnu Gata. He said, don't bother yourself with all that. We have limited time. All the time may go in counteracting the curse. Let's be absorbed in, I wish all of you to sing the glories of the Lord while I want to absorb my mind in hearing the glories of the Lord. So he says, Tam Mopayatam Pratyantu Vipra Ganga Cha Devi Dhrita Chittam Ishe. I want to fix my mind, my chitta, on the name of the Lord. And he says, while you all assist me by continuously singing and glorifying the Lord. Dashatvalam Gayata Vishnu Gatha. Please sing the glories of the Lord. Don't waste any time in discussion that how this curse will be counteracted. Let's not waste any time. Avyarthakalatvam. So this is something which is important. So another important aspect is we should see that, are we just trying to counteract the situation in this material world? At times, you know, we may just be, our mind may wholly and solely be absorbed in trying to just counteract various material situations. And there's so much time may go. I'm not saying that we should not do that. It's important to do that also. It's important to, it's important to situate ourselves in a situation where we are strongly situated in Krishna consciousness. We can practice Krishna consciousness with the peace of mind. But other extreme could be just the whole time is going in simply counteracting the various situations in the material world. And the whole time may be lost. So therefore one has to be very judicious, watchful of time. That's the second visible symptom of spiritual progress. So the third is virakti, detachment, and especially detachment from sense gratification that is mentioned over here. Here I would like to just make a point that at times, you know, when we emphasize detachment from sense gratification and so on, it doesn't mean that we should not gratify our senses. This is basically detachment from enjoyment, sense enjoyment. But the senses needs to be strong to serve Krishna. Therefore, this is an important aspect of even of devotee care. When we are discussing about devotee care, we have to, devotee care begins with self-care. And Prabhupada writes that self-care means that we should see that we are, our body, mind, senses are strong enough to serve Krishna. So at times in the name of denying, you know, that's this sense gratification or all that, sometimes we may just unduly fast the senses and become very weak, even in our Krishna consciousness. So when we are talking of, it is restraining from sense enjoyment, restraining ourselves from sense enjoyment, but the senses must be gratified so that we are strong to engage in Krishna service. So that is to be understood. So that's the third symptom, that we are not attached to the sense enjoyment, though we may have to take care of our senses and be in a strong position. Man shunyata, the fourth symptom. Man shunyata. Man shunyata is offering respects to all, the same as amani na man dena. We don't desire respect for ourselves while we offer respects to all. We offer respects to all. That is man shunyata. And now, this is also very important because Vedic culture is actually a culture of respect, or even a Vaishnav culture. Now, what happens is sometimes we may disagree or dislike something. We may disagree with someone, or we may dislike the way people are acting, but that should not lead to disrespect. That should not lead to disrespect. I remember I met Mr. Peter Barwash, who was Prabhupada disciple, though not formally initiated. You may have heard of him, very nice gentleman. And his marriage survived, the first marriage survived lifelong. And I was asking, you know, being in the Western, being in USA, being in the Western world, first marriage surviving and the husband and wife staying together lifelong is quite rare. And I asked him, what's the reason for that? He said, we committed ourselves between our husband and wife that even we may disagree with each other, or we may dislike the way we act, but we will not disrespect each other by yelling. That means yelling, shouting at each other, by speaking harsh words. They said, made a commitment. And now what may happen, we may make a commitment, but we may not be able to follow it because we have our own shortcomings. So they then made another commitment then, that when we breach this commitment, and we'll have to remind each other, and then we have to immediately accept our fault. Whatever may be the other person's fault, but if we have breached this commitment, that's a greater fault. So other person may have done something wrong, but when we disrespect that person, that's a greater wrong. It's a greater wrong. So we may disagree, we may dislike, but we will not disrespect. So this is important for relationships also. So how are we, you know, respectful, the Vaishnava is respectful towards all living entities. How are we respectful within a society of devotees? That is the fourth reliable symptom of one's spiritual advancement, how we are respectful. And the fifth is Ashabaddha. Ashabaddha is our devotee is always having the strong hope. I see many devotees have the tattoos, never give up. Always have the hope. And we can read Prabhupada's life, we can see this actually. There were so many times when he was disappointed. There are many failures in Prabhupada's life. He wanted to preach in Jhansi, failure. He wanted to go to Japan to preach, failure. Several times he met failures in life. So he was disappointed several times, but he was never discouraged, never gave up. Krishna has closed some doors, he will open some other door. Right? So that is Ashabadha, always having the strong hope that if Krishna has closed one door, certainly he will open another door. And the last, I am combining the last four together, which is eagerness, longing or eagerness to hear, chant, remember, reside in the holy place. It's all it's kind of related. So having that sumutkantha is the sixth one, which can be combined with the other three, which is eagerness or longing. Eagerness or longing. So devotees should have this eagerness as described, kabe habe bolo se dine amar, right? That kind of longing, that kind of eagerness. But Vishwanathika Thakur says that we should make a reliable prayer to the Lord. We should make a realistic prayer to the Lord. And he says, we should see at what level we are at present and make a prayer to go to the next level. Just like instead of praying, let me have a taste for chanting, we can pray. Let me be awake during chanting first. Right? This is more realistic for us at our level, at least for me. Right? So he says we should make a realistic prayer and not aspire for something very high while we are at a very low level. Right? So we can have this eagerness and longing to go to the next step. See where we are at present and go to the next step. So therefore, when we are having that kind of eagerness, that eagerness is one of the reliable symptoms. So these are, so today we briefly discuss about how when the Lord was going to the Jharikhand forest, he made the animals and the plants experience the ecstasy. We may all experience some ecstasy at some point of the time. It may not be due to our spiritual advancement. It may be due to the power of the sound vibration, the Sangha, the pure devotees. That ecstasy could also be imitated or could be due to some emotion, discuss the story. Or some devotees may suppress their ecstasy at times. Prabhupada gives examples. Devotees sometimes suppress their ecstasy, and therefore we should not judge based upon those. We should judge or evaluate our spiritual progress based upon these reliable symptoms, which we discuss how much we are able to tolerate, that is shantir, how much we are able to tolerate provoking situations, which is forbearance, and able to forgive. Second, how much conscious we are to invest time in Krishna consciousness, more and more, and fill in all the gaps. Third is detachment from sense enjoyment, though we may have to gratify our senses. And fourthly, respecting others while not expecting respect. And even if we disagree or dislike, we may not disrespect anyone. That's a sign of our advancement. Though we may have many disappointments, not to be discouraged. Never give up. Never give up. And the sixth one, always having the eagerness, the longing to advance, to associate with the devotees, longing that I may chant better, I may hear with greater absorption. So cultivating that internal longing, that is also one of the visible, reliable symptoms of spiritual advancement. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you all very much. If there are any comments, concerns, questions, we have 5 minutes for that. Yes, Prabhu. Okay, there are two hands which are raised.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you for the scholarly class. Regarding forbearance, in devotee circles, we sometimes hear that Krishna will not give you a challenge that you can't tolerate or you can't overcome.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, is there a Shastric reference for that? Or is it just, you know, one of those hearsay things?
Okay. Krishna won't give you a challenge that you cannot overcome. Yes, that means if there is a challenge, Krishna can surely give us the strength that we can overcome the challenge, because Krishna is all powerful. That means now, even if you are weak, it could be a test to expose our weakness. If you are not able to overcome, that means I am quite weak, and then I need strength. That strength could come from Krishna, we can pray, or from the Sangha. So at times Krishna may expose our what we need at this point of time. But Krishna is all powerful. Krishna, if Krishna is giving us a challenge, he can surely give us the strength to overcome it also. Like Prabhupada would pray, you know, they have brought me here, now you make my words suitable. So for them to understand, right? So therefore, Krishna can surely empower us to overcome any challenge. Okay, thank you, Hare Krishna. Yes.
Thank you so much for the wonderful class, Prabhu. You spoke about hearing and chanting, the importance of hearing and chanting, and that principle. And when we hear of it, does it imply only hearing and chanting the holy names, or does it imply also hearing and chanting books like Gita and Bhagavatam? Is the same importance there?
Yeah, no, it applies to the Bhagavatam also. Shravanam is, example is Parikshit. Chanting is example is Shukadeva Goswami. So these processes are quite interconnected. It is also said, when we say, you know, 99% of the spiritual advancement depend upon chanting, at times this is a very famous quotation. You cannot exclude, he said, whenever there is kirtanam, shravanam is implicit over there. Because no one can perform kirtanam properly without shravanam, the prerequisite. And even in kirtan, there has to be shravan, hearing. So to have the perform kirtanam properly, we have to take shelter of hearing. And not just that, to strengthen our hearing, to get a taste of our hearing, we should serve the devotees. Therefore, sadhu sangha nama kirtan bhagava shravan, this kirtan is placed between two bhagavatas, book bhagavat and person bhagavat. Therefore, when we actually have the right hearing of the book bhagavat and service orientation, our attitude is to serve the person bhagavat, then our naam chanting is on the track. Otherwise, naam sankirtan alone, we may not have any strength in the naam sankirtan to be able to advance. So naam sankirtan is placed between sadhu sang, naam kirtan, bhagava shravan, between the two bhagavatas. So the proper hearing and proper service to the devotees will actually lead to the right advancement in chanting the holy names. They are quite interrelated, interconnected, and we should see them together and not separate.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Can I ask a little more?
Okay, I'm okay. And if some devotees need to leave at this point of time, it's already 8:45, please feel free to leave the class. Sorry? They don't serve prasad till 9 o'clock, that is the information. Okay, so but still, if you need to leave the classroom at this point of time, it won't be impolite on your part. So feel free to leave the class. It's already 8:45, because the time written here is class finishes at 8:45, and exactly the time is 8:45. So I must release you. Right? So feel free to leave. But if you wish to hear or participate in the discussion that we are having, most welcome. Yes.
So then I wondered, for a beginner devotee, if you have free time, should you hear more Bhagavatam and Gita, or should you chant more? For a beginner devotee, what would be more important?
Okay, again, I would say that you could divide the time, ask them to chant little more, read little more, and also do some seva if they feel an inspiration. I would say, like Maharaj Amrish is an example. Though one may perform one of them and also advance, but Maharaj Amrish's example stands out, where he performed all 9 processes. He engaged all his senses, and so his approach is most glorified and most beneficial. So I would say that we can do both, or hearing, chanting, and also I would say even practical service, we can just divide the time into three, and then more holistic spiritual progress we can experience.
Thank you.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you. And of course, some devotees may, if they have a strong liking for reading more or chanting more, that's fine also. It also depends upon person's inclination at times. Some devotees may have stronger inclination and we can encourage them in doing that. Same time also balance it, because that sometimes that encouragement we are feeling could be just that of mind. It may be on the just emotional or a mental platform, and after some time we may not feel at all inspiration at all. Like some devotees feel very high inspiration to chant, but then they just go away after some time because there is no philosophical basis. Hearing was neglected. So therefore, you know, by hearing, the inspiration to chant will be more sustainable. And by serving, the inspiration to hearing will be more sustainable. So like that. Fine? Okay. Yes. Something else? Yes, Prabhu. I'll get back to you.
Thank you so much for your class, Prabhu. You were talking about having a change of heart.
Yeah.
I was wondering, what does it mean, heart? Is it the mind or feelings?
The change of the heart. Okay, heart? Good point. When we say it's heart, it's actually the mind. So change our thought process, thinking, willing, you know, what is our determination. So when we hear something, you know, our thoughts are provoked, we should make some sankalpa and attempt to bring a change. So one important thing which we always discuss in the listening seminars is listen to change. So I had met one a great CEO in one of my travels, and he shared with me something inspiring. He said, whenever I listen to any talk — he was talking of corporate talks, not just spiritual talks — whenever I hear any talk, I note down at least one point I want to work upon myself. It's something important for me to work upon. Listen to change. Always be in that mood. I want to change. I will bring some transformation in me. The way I think, the way I act, the way I behave, the way I approach other devotees, so on, so on. Right? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes. Hare Krishna.
Answering earlier question, while you were saying, I think, listen, read, and do seva as well.
Yes.
I think if it is a new devotee or someone is coming into a journey or starting journey, I think my experience is reading, and particularly reading Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, all the spiritual books, I think I find it raises too many questions as you read. And sometimes if you get lost in it, you lose interest and then you probably just leave it. I think engaging in conversations, attending something like Gita Life or some other courses, it does help answering those questions. And then reading it changes your perspective about the questions you had.
Yes.
Pretty much get answered, or you think it differently. So that's only one thing I would add. So reading, just starting, I think you lose interest because you get questions.
Yes, good point, good observation. Yes, yeah, important. So therefore, Shravanam includes both reading and hearing, listening. Instead of reading, we could listen to the talks, as you suggest, in the very beginning. Yeah, that's good, so that we can clarify our doubts. That's good point. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate. Okay, Hare Krishna. Once again, my deep gratitude to all of you for your patient hearing and enthusiastic participation. Grantra Shrimad Bhagatam ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrit ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hare Krishna.